it's just a rap thing. And we're back with episode 47 of The Sounds of Struggle. I'm Chris Parrish.
Beer.
We had a few.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we do.
This is kind of our thing.
Yeah. We trademark it, but, you know, other people like to do it too.
And we're not douchefaggles.
Yeah. So, you know, since the last time all of our beautiful fans listened to us.
We have beautiful fans?
Well.
Hi, beautiful fans.
I mean.
I'm not single, but hello.
We wrestle in the dark.
Yes, we do.
So, I mean, everyone's beautiful in the dark.
That's not true.
Well, can you tell?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Emma, Darren Young,
and Summer Rae
have been released.
Yes.
I sent out a tweet to WWE.
Saying that they should hire us?
No. Saying that you keep Alicia Fox, but you release Emma. No.
I don't understand why. What's so hard to understand about that?
Well, here's the thing. You have a woman.
Yeah, several.
Who's a very talented worker in Emma. You ask her to work with the debuting Asuka.
Asuka.
To make her look good.
Machka.
Not just on a pay-per-view, but then Monday Night Raw as well. And she does very, very well in both matches.
And then they kick her in the vag.
And then Alicia Fox, who finally just gets a t-shirt.
After 25 years.
And then is made team captain of the Survivor Series Raw team, to which no one cares about.
No, that's not true. I'm sure there's someone out there.
No.
No, okay, there's not. No one out there. Nobody cares. It's a waste of time. Move on.
But it just makes no sense because you talk about how you want to have your, you know, your...
Penis in your hand.
Your woman's revolution.
Oh, that too.
Okay. Too much beer.
Nope, not even a close one.
But you talk about your woman's revolution, and you have a good worker in Emma, who's also very attractive.
She's a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
A little bit of all right.
She can go in the ring. She has a good character beside her.
Who's her character?
The one who claims to start the whole thing.
Oh, Emelina, yeah.
No, not that.
Oh, okay.
Even... I think we all kind of wanted to see that.
A little bit.
Because we all wanted to see the outfits.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
But, moving on. And then you release that. To only bring up Alicia Fox, who didn't get over in 205 Live.
Yeah.
With Noam Dar.
Dar. Yeah.
Or, you know, Cedric, not so much of an entertainer, Alexander.
Same guy?
Oh.
Damn.
But then all of a sudden you just give her one match. She's a team. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I really just don't understand.
It's her retirement run. It's the only thing it can be.
Like, it just makes no
sense. She's retiring soon. That's the only thing it can be.
Like, why do you get rid of a good worker and keep horrible ones?
My only thing is maybe Emma sucked the wrong dick.
Well... Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes no sense to me because I can understand Darren Young because they, you know, he's been under contract.
That's a hate crime.
He's been under contract for so long. He hasn't really evolved much as a performer.
So Tonga's next?
Well, he's not even a wrestler. He's just
exactly.
an announcer.
Exactly.
He's still... better than Booker T.
Unfortunately.
So, but my point, it's just, I just don't, like, I even get Summer Rae because she wasn't being used. I personally would love to have seen her get back together with Fandango and Tyler Breeze and manage Breezango or the Fashion Police, whatever. Yeah,
that'd be all right.
Since she's A, managed both of them individually.
Yeah.
It also makes sense.
Yeah.
Plus, she's not the worst thing to look at.
Except for her nose.
Yes, but who's looking
at the nose? It's hard to miss it.
It is when you're not looking there.
Yeah, true enough.
When she was with Fandango, she wore...
It's more like Fandam, girl!
But she wore a lot of nice outfits there.
See.
Especially the see-through.
Or the sequins.
But I actually even think Summer Rae was a better worker than Alicia Fox.
Yeah, I agree. This whole thing she's doing now because she's captain of the team and this is your captain speaking. Fuck off.
Like, I don't...
Seriously, straight up fuck off.
I don't hate that.
Nope, fuck off.
But what I do hate is the fact that, you know, she's just boring of a performer.
No. Nope.
She's over the top. It's dumb. It's... I get it. She's supposed to be crazy. But she's no AJ Lee on the crazy.
Nah. It's not believable.
No. I just... I don't know.
It's my ex-boyfriend's over here. I'm going to watch him and smell his clothes.
Hell, if we won't even bring the whole, I have too many ex-boyfriends, I'm going to go nuts, then why is Stephanie McMahon the one in charge?
Because family name and half of them are dead.
Fair enough. But yeah, speaking of which, Stephanie McMahon returns to Raw.
I was going to say, briefly speaking of which, reportedly, Gallows and Anderson asked for their release. Not confirmed.
No, because I've heard the same rumors of saying that that was a rumor killer of that it's not a thing.
Well, then I'll shut the hell up.
So
Stephanie McMahon's back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good thing, though, because Gallows and Anderson are in one hell of a tag team.
Yes,
yeah,
so Tex Too Bad and... Ferguson and Chad Too Bad were on Raw. And it was all right.
Well, you got to keep those guys.
Against Mr. and Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, you got to keep those guys.
It was all right.
But yeah, Stephanie McMahon was back, and dare I say, she showed more balls than any of the GMs or of Raw ever.
Okay, now, Mrs. Manak and I were talking about this. When did Mick Foley get fired? Was it about a year ago?
Not a full year. It was in 2017.
So like January, February?
Yeah, it was like this year.
Okay.
It was right after WrestleMania, I believe.
See, I thought it was right before. But what do I know?
Because Stephanie McMahon's last appearance was WrestleMania.
Greatest appearance ever.
I'm just trying to think. Did Raw actually have a big... return in after WrestleMania or a big debut after WrestleMania?
Samoa Joe.
And was... No, yeah.
That was before. Never mind.
But I believe... Yeah, that was slightly before because that was about the Rumble-ish.
Yeah.
But Mick Foley was still in charge then.
Okay.
Which would have been 2017. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
But yeah. Yeah, because obviously they brought Angle back for the Hall of Fame, and then, yeah, he was actually announced the day after WrestleMania.
Right.
So it would have been right before WrestleMania, Foley was taken out, so, that makes sense. Plus, I think, yeah, he also had those surgeries he had to do, so they took him off
the road. On his hipsters.
Yeah, he's an old, broken-down man.
I wouldn't say necessarily old, but he's definitely broken down.
Well, he's not young.
He's middle-aged, broken-down man.
Yeah, maybe older middle-aged.
You're older middle-aged.
Pushing 50, bro.
You're pushing 50.
I'm pushing a little bit of all right.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Pushing struggle-icious.
I've been sucking the struggle-icious dick for a while.
I knew it!
Aren't we all?
Well, no, because then we'd all be struggle-icious.
Well, you're struggle-icious.
Yeah, but not all of us are.
Well, I'm just talking to you here.
Bro. Oh, fair enough.
So, I mean, this is our podcast.
Did you hear that Leo Rush actually made some comments about Emma?
And then everyone absolutely just went off on him.
Buried him.
Like, the best one, I think, was Peyton Royce, actually, just like,
yeah.
Didn't you just get here?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. It's like, as talented as he is in the ring, shut the fuck up.
No, it's, you think you just get there. That's pretty ballsy to say something like that right away.
Well, exactly. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Not to mention, it's like, we get it. Like, you're under the same, like, you're under the WWE banner now, and you're trying to make light of an angle. However, somebody just lost their job, and in my opinion, didn't deserve it at all.
No.
And you're making light of it. It's just not cool.
I blame Curt Hawkins for some reason.
I still blame Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox.
She's not attractive. She's not a good worker. She's not entertaining. Why the
not good on the mic.
Why the hell is she still there? Let alone the captain of a team.
She's blowing Vince.
Somebody.
All of them. Everybody that needs to be blown is being blown.
Like, it just, I don't know, it makes no sense to me.
Nope.
The only thing I could think is that Paige is soon to be back, and she's going to be back on Raw. They open up a spot. But at the same time, like, I just don't get it, especially with the talks of the possibility of doing a Royal Rumble for women. You think you want to hold on to your women here.
Guys, hold on to your ladies.
Yeah, and they're nice to touch.
Yes, very, very soft. Smelled good, usually.
Smooth all the way through.
Usually.
But with that being said, like, Emma, I thought, just started to finally come into her own.
I don't think she's necessarily coming into her own. She's given the opportunity to show that she could come into her own.
But she pulled through. Like, she did very well. And a lot of people might actually say she actually performed better than Asuka did at the pay-per-view.
I would second that.
Whereas Alicia Fox, I don't think, has really outperformed any opposition unless they're like, I don't know, like, who's that one chick in the Funkadactyls that got released?
Cameron?
Yeah, like, she sucked.
Well, that's why she's not there anymore.
Yeah, but, like, Alicia Fox looked good against her.
I guess. That'd be a terrible match.
But, yeah. So, just, I don't know, my two thoughts about that whole release thing. Darren Young, I can get it because he never got any better than
Summer Rae, I get because she was injured and then did a lot of modeling outside of WWE. I get that.
Yeah, I just think that there was definite, I think the valet aspect was still a spot for her.
Yeah.
I still saw a spot where she could be valuable to it, somebody like the Breezango tag team. And even then, like, she doesn't have to be with them. You look at, like, a single star coming up, like, you know, if, like, a Ty Dillinger or a Sami Zayn, like, there's stuff there that she could be, like, doing that, I think that would be very essential. Again, like, I just don't understand some of these moves outside of the Darren Young, and this has nothing to do with Darren Young being the only guy that got released. It's just
so far, apparently, there's rumors there's gonna be a couple more.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently, Neville has been given his release, or it's pretty much
also a rumor,
official that they're parted ways somewhere along the line.
Also rumored by Dolph Ziggler, apparently, getting let go.
I actually think that this is going to be more of an angle than anything.
I hope so.
Because I don't know if you watched SmackDown and his 2 out of 3 falls match with Bobby Roode. It was a really good match, and a lot of those pinfalls, one came off a super kick that really came out of, like,
nowhere!
Right? And then a roll-up. Because he got slingshot, and I just thought there was a
Cesaro style into the pole.
Yeah, but I just thought there was a lot more unexpected pinfalls, so it made the match a little bit better out of that.
Yeah,
not to mention, is it just me or is it wrong to say Bobby Roode looks fantastic right now? He looks more shredded than he's ever been.
He looks a little bit of all right.
You know what? He's Strugglicious. Don't care.
bitch.
When you put up your hands and everyone says glorious, you're struggleicious.
He's gloriocious.
But yeah. Anyway, that was a really good match.
Just before that, Raw with Under Siege. What were your thoughts on the invasion again?
I understand why they do it. I just don't buy it.
It's weird that, you know, Monday they're all working together and everything, and then Tuesday they're all fighting each other, hating each other again.
Well, to me it's... I understand the concept. I really understand the whole... Okay, now this one is Raw versus SmackDown. Brand loyalty. But with that being said, when you have existing issues with guys in your brand, it's not going to take shape over these things. Like, what about the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who right now don't have a match with Survivor Series?
Also didn't invade Raw. I have a feeling they're going to turn on SmackDown and join Raw.
Well, I mean, but then you also look at Raw guys who could possibly be doing the same.
Yeah. You didn't see Bray Wyatt there. I mean, I think that's he's still kind of out that
Well, place. Yeah, he still had... but, I mean, you know, since it's kind of up there, I mean, Bo Dallas makes his return to Monday Night Raw, only to get beat up by Braun Strowman.
Nice.
Curtis Axel. Dude, good job for taking one for the team, because...
Several.
Yeah, you took a lot for the Mistrage on that night.
Sexy old beating.
Yeah. You know, good job.
Yeah.
Good job, Axel. Good job.
Good job.
Nia Jax also returning.
Cool.
See, I mean, for me, I just don't think there's a lot of direction on the Raw Women's Division.
No. Like, hence my, cool. It just, I don't care.
I mean, you saw Mickey James and Alexa Bliss again.
Again.
Alexa Bliss wins.
Again.
Which, nothing bad about the matches, but the matches aren't... They just don't feel meaningful.
Again.
I mean, the last one, the one at the pay-per-view...
was good.
Fantastic.
Kind of good.
But if your heel is going over clean, why a rematch?
Don't look at me. I don't work there.
So, and then it only served a purpose just so what? Alexa Bliss can be in the ring way too long. Awkwardly too long. Only for Braun Strowman and the Mistrash to come out.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was very awkward.
I enjoyed it, but it was still weird.
But one return that I very much liked was Samoa Joe.
Yeah!
So, it's interesting to see what he'll do. I assume he'll be on Team Raw for the Survivor Series.
I have to assume so, yeah. I still think they're going to announce either Sammy and or Kevin as part of Team Raw in a shocking twist.
See, I don't think they'll be part of Team Raw. I do think they might screw Team SmackDown and continue that story.
So you think that we're going to have like a Shane McMahon versus one of the two of them at Mania?
I wouldn't be surprised if you had Shane McMahon versus Sammy and Triple H versus KO. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised given the now stipulation that if Kurt Angle, who is now captaining Team Raw Survivor Series, doesn't win, he will be fired. I wouldn't be surprised to see Kurt Angle versus Triple H at WrestleMania.
Can't hit the bitch, so you fight the bull. Fair enough.
Well, I mean, so it just makes me wonder, you know, kind of like plans moving forward for a lot of people. And then you also look at the Andre Memorial Battle Royal.
Everybody else.
But, I mean...
But seriously, everybody else.
Literally, the person who wins that should get a rub.
Like, rubbed out?
But, like... I thought Baron Corbin got a good rub by winning it. I thought Big Show got his rub. Like, he didn't get, like... But he got what he would normally get for winning a big match. Cesaro got so much. He got more recognition for winning it.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawley. Nobody gives a shit about Mojo Rawley.
That was dumb. I think it's just because what's-his-face is there.
Gronk.
Gronk!
Yeah.
Gronk! Maybe Brown will win it this year.
See, that one makes sense, but, I mean, I would also think Braun's going to be in a match.
You can do both.
This is my thing. This is why I would love to see Money in the Bank come back at WrestleMania.
And not be pay-per-view.
Right?
Get rid of Hell in a Cell as well. No, no, I'm just saying, you can throw in Hell in a Cell random times throughout the year.
No, and I'm agreeing with you. You take away Hell in a Cell as a pay-per-view, and you make the match more meaningful when it's just brought in.
Also, take away TLC, because we saw one match, which was literally TLC, which was, it was different, and I liked it, but at the same time, if you're building up for that pay-per-view where it's, that's pretty much the only pay-per-view for TLC, I would have been disappointed.
Well, and then we go back to Alexa Bliss Mickie James match, where now you're getting 40 minutes in the pay-per-view and you haven't seen any tables, ladders, or chairs, and the crowd are chanting, "We want tables." And this match that you're getting is actually really good.
Yeah.
And then the TLC match that's advertised, and, you know, like, there's nothing really for it.
There's no need to actually climb a ladder.
We heard on the ENC Pod of Awesomeness. Yeah, that's a plug. We don't care. We'll plug good stuff.
We'll plug them. Plug them right in their face.
Well, you know. I mean, we won't do the shtick of how we want to kill each other. We'll just talk about how we want to, like, you know, make each other feel good.
So we'll give each other double Dutch rudders?
Or we'll just beat up, like, people we don't like.
Done. Let's do that.
All right.
We'll do double Dutch rudders.
Yeah. That still happens, people.
True story.
However, yeah, they were saying on there that, you know, the TLC match has nothing. If you do a TLC match, you need something to actually be on the line. There's nothing on the line, so yeah. It doesn't feel like anything is. I mean, and then Christian also pointed out that he's like, you know, I might be a little bit biased because, you know, like, we're the ones who kind of made the TLC match kind of famous. And he was being, you know, well, I mean, they did.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, the Hardys, the Dudleys, Edge and Christian, they made the TLC match what it is today. They put it on the map, and they made that match as cool as we want to one day. Like, we always want to remember it to be that cool, even though what we're seeing now isn't as good as what we have seen.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But yeah, no, less gimmick pay-per-views and
more gimmick matches.
More gimmick matches on pay-per-views that are just...
Bring back Armageddon.
I mean, War Games, NXT.
I like it.
We haven't even talked about that yet.
Well, there's not much to talk about. We've already kind of talked about it a couple pay-per-views ago, or a couple podcasts ago.
But it's going to be fucking good.
It's going to be so good.
I mean, and it deserves recognition.
CC.
But finally, we know now. Four people in the women's title match. Kairi Sane, Ember Moon, Peyton Royce,
and Nikki Cross.
So,
that's my Scottish accent coming in.
That's a horrible Scottish accent.
Thank you.
I mean, we're not Scottish, though. We're Strugglicious, bitch.
And a little bit of all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, we ooze a little bit of all right.
I ooze for different reasons.
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't take much for us to ooze, but
that's true.
That's besides the point.
True story.
So, but yeah, that's going to be such a good show.
It is going to be a very good show. I think, as per usual, that the NXT TakeOver will outdo Survivor Series.
Well, it usually does.
That's what I say. As per usual, I think it's going to do it.
I mean, Drew McIntyre versus Andrade Cien Almas, I think, has the potential to be such a good match.
Yep.
The
War Games obviously is going to be an attraction everyone wants to see.
Well,
and the women's match is going to be good.
And I really hope the attraction itself doesn't take away from the competitors in the match, because they're going to put on a great match.
Yeah, it's true. And you know what?
And I hope they understand that the structure at hand is something to take place. Like, hopefully they understand that the structure itself that's surrounding them, and use that in the psychology of their match.
Yeah.
And then just don't have a really good wrestling match inside.
You know, I think I'm going to be okay with both. It's just a spectacle.
No, but you got to use I mean, I think, too, like, a lot of people go back to, like, your favorite Hell in a Cells, whether it's Undertaker against Mick Foley.
Undertaker versus Edge.
But, like, you saw, or even Shawn Michaels against Undertaker. But you saw people use that structure to advantage.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a lot of it. Not everything could be the Owen Hart, Bret Hart, SummerSlam cage match.
True, true.
Even though that was still part of the psychology, just not as much as, you know. It was still a good wrestling match in a steel cage, but it still used a steel cage as,
yeah,
you know, like,
I'm actually, sorry. For that pay-per-view, I'm actually excited to see Aleister Black versus, what's his name, Chocolate Rain.
Velveteen Dream.
Same thing.
Different
flavor.
He is definitely coming out to his own.
I liked him before, but I'm thoroughly enjoying what they're doing between the two of them. He's trying to be noticed by Aleister Black. Aleister Black's ignoring him. Except for the last week, I haven't seen tonight's episode of NXT, but last week he actually acknowledged him.
Yep. Well, he never said his name, which is what Velveteen Dream wants.
No, that's true. But he did finally actually look at him.
Yep. Well,
he
has looked at him before.
Sexually.
I mean, well, obviously when they had that first encounter where Aleister Black kicked the microphone out,
yeah,
sat down, and then Velveteen Dream dropped to his knees. They were looking at each other, but it's that acknowledgement of who he is,
yes.
And that's what Velveteen Dream wants.
I love the character. I love both characters.
I love the story and just the dynamic of the difference of characters that are meshing so well together.
You have a super monster babyface who keeps getting undermined by a suave.
Like, he's very suave. Rico Suave.
Hugo Weaving.
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. But yeah, I mean, it's just a nice dynamic that you have that's very different from anything else on the show.
Yeah. Kind of doing their own thing that makes it entertaining.
But it's pushing each guy into a different comfort zone in the process.
Yeah.
Because you're pushing Aleister Black into something else. You're pushing Velveteen Dream to something else. He has to get more physical. He has to get more badass. He has to get more unpredictable. Whereas Aleister Black has to, you know, accept the emotion.
For some reason, I don't know why, but every time I hear the name Velveteen Dream, all I can think of is like 1950s, like, Barbasol, like, shaving cream. Not sure why.
Well, I mean, everyone has
their own vices.
We'll leave it at that, shall we?
Sure. Quickly scooting back to the Under Siege Raw.
Yes.
Did you see that Natty grabbed Ryder's balls?
No.
Yeah. When she went to push by, because it was the ladies bit there. Full on cuppage of the nuts.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that'll
TJ Wilson, best look out.
Well, it's Zack Ryder. I mean, how much of a threat is he to a relationship?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe give him a Rough Rider.
Well, I mean, if anything, I blame Zack Ryder for Emma's release. I mean, you get too attached to a woman. And here's another one. How is Dana Brooke even still with that company and Emma gets released? Or here's an idea. How come Emma and Dana Brooke was never a thing on WWE TV when they were such
Emma got hurt.
A dynamic?
I remember Emma getting hurt, so Dana did her own thing.
But they're went with both Charlotte, fine but now.
They should have gone back to get at it. Again, if we were the writers, things would be different.
I just don't understand
how we get released. Everyone would have a part. Personally, Mojo Rawley would be my bitch.
Well,
that's the part he'd play.
He would be released, in my opinion.
As my bitch.
But I just don't understand how you can let such a talented worker go in Emma. Or Tennille Dashwood.
Yeah. She's going to do well in the indies, I can tell you that.
I mean, I really hope she gets back, you know, and just, you know, shoves it in the face.
I'll, Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre, well, whoever else can release and come back.
So many people, though.
Kurt Hawkins. Hope she comes back. The female Kurt Hawkins. That'd be fantastic.
I mean, wasn't she already doing that, though?
Pretty much.
So,
although she did win a match or two.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, she did win the match to face the right to Asuka.
Yeah.
Only to drop twice and then get fired.
So, in retrospect, I guess all the other ladies are happy they didn't win.
Yeah. She wasn't ready for Asuka because she didn't really want what was next.
True story.
So,
Neville, no longer part of 205 Live opening.
So, yeah.
I guess it's official. He's probably going to be another name released.
Perhaps. Unless it's just, you know, their way of deleting them from...
Delete? Oh. Delete!
I gotta mention that because, you know, Matt Hardy finally got, you know, like, that his time to shine with the Intercontinental title match against The Miz.
That was actually pretty good.
It was a really good match, and, I mean, they deserve their moment, so...
Yes.
You know, good match on them. I'm very curious to see, you know, what they're gonna do with Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm. I think they're slowly, like, starting to build towards that Awoken or the Awoke or the Broken or whatever they decide to call him. He seems to be adopting more and more.
I think the Matt Hardy Bray Wyatt connection is so much more evident now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you can't have them be associated.
Different brands?
No, with each other.
But they're different brands.
No, they're not. They're both on Raw.
No, it's different brands.
No, they're both on Raw.
Bray Wyatt's on a different plane of existence.
No, but I mean, why can't the Hardy compound and the Wyatt compound be
the same thing?
Or in like, the same area?
Or like, you know, backing onto each other? Mm-hmm. Maybe Rebby Hardy is actually Sister Abigail.
Right.
AKA Bray Wyatt. Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt are lovers. You heard it here first.
I wouldn't say lovers.
No, they've had two kids together.
That is why Darren...
They do the horizontal shuffle.
That is why Darren Young got released, because they already have the gay thing figured out.
Exactly! There it is! We're figuring shit out.
Right? So, I mean, I guess so. But I don't think so.
You never know.
You don't know. I don't know,
speaking of someone else who has it figured out, apparently, Sarah Logan just got engaged.
Yeah.
To one of the Warhammers? It's an Ring of Honor tag team. They're big bearded bastards.
Yes, you know, I don't really know. I didn't really know.
He's a big fuck off of a guy.
Big fuck off.
A big fuck off of a guy.
That is what you're going with.
Yeah, that's how okay. I'm describing him. Monster dude.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, she's not really a small girl herself.
No, Crazy Mary Dobson's not small. Decent wrestler though.
Well, very good wrestler. Wish she would do a little bit more with NXT.
Maybe she could be Sarah or Sister Abigail, like we talked about.
See, I don't really know about that. I would like to see her do her own thing in NXT.
They just don't use her though. Like, I'm not sure that they know what to do with her.
I don't think they knew what they had yet, but at the same time, they didn't know what they had with Alexa Bliss at the beginning, and then she turns into this phenomenal entertainer.
The goddess.
Especially Sasha Banks, same thing. Bayley, same thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, the first, you know, runaround of a character isn't what they need, and then, okay, then they find their comfort zone, and then they break out. You know, we've seen it before, especially in the women's division in NXT.
Yep, absolutely.
Even Charlotte wasn't what she is now. When she first started in NXT.
No, you're right. She's not jobbing to Natty.
Becky Lynch is another thing. No, she actually went over on Natty.
Exactly. Now she's jobbing.
Yeah. So,
I have a feeling. I'm calling it now. Survivor Series. You're going to have Carmella cash in during that champion versus champion match on Natty.
She should pin both and just...
That would be hilarious.
I don't think she can, but it'd be funny.
No, but still, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that she hits, like, she cashes in, Natalya loses the title, immediately loses the match.
Okay, but also taking account of this, because we saw in Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, and Roman Reigns, when he cashed in into the match, it was a championship match.
So suddenly...
It became a triple threat championship match.
So maybe both titles, and maybe she...
But no title is on the line, and we already know that. No titles are on the line here.
But it would be if she joined the match. for the SmackDown one anyways.
No, but that's why I think it would make a lot more sense to have Natty win that match and then Carmella to cash in on her. Or to have Natty lose that match and just to make matters worse, Carmella cashes in on
her. I'd say if Natty cash or if Natty wins the match and then Alexa Bliss throws a temper tantrum, a 5 feet of fury temper tantrum, beats her down, then Carmella comes out and cashes in.
See, you know, like with Survivor Series, I'm just very curious of seeing how much, like, because they have a lot of heel-heel, babyface
kind of matches. It's pretty much bragging rights from, like, 2009.
With the exception of Jinder Mahal and Brock Lesnar. That's everyone knows Lesnar's because everyone's going to want to see Lesnar beat the crap out of
Mahal. I think it would be so funny if Jinder Mahal got, like, some sort of, like, gets his ass kicked and gets a pin somehow. Like, right. A quick three count, on feet on the ropes, and then bails. Oh. That'd be so funny.
But then you have Baron Corbin against Miz. And lately, you've been seeing some, you know, kind of promos between the two where Baron Corbin throws out a promo of telling him he's going to wish he stayed home and he's back with his wife. And then the Miz is getting hot about him talking about his wife.
I'm getting hot thinking about his wife.
Right. But he's like, if you talk about my pregnant wife one more time, I'm going to kick your effing teeth down your throat. So you saw a little bit more fire out of the Miz. So it makes me think that Miz is going to get cheered in this match.
Could be.
And then you see Rollins and Ambrose against the Usos.
Rollins and Ambrose hit face for sure.
But, I mean, they're both somewhat baby-faced
teams. That match I'm looking forward to. That's going to be a good match.
But given the fact that it's the Shield, Ambrose and Rollins, they're going to be more over than the Usos for sure, who just recently changed.
Speaking of which, did you watch the Table for Three with the Shield?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet.
It's very good. It's very eye-opening. It's funny, actually. If you watch that and that, what they talk about, and you go back and watch their early promos and what they do, it's, as they say, they have no idea what they're doing. It's kind of funny.
Well, I mean, at the same time, like, I don't deny that, you know, it, you know, just came out of nowhere.
Yep.
In the sense of the breakup. And then
pretty much at their height.
I do remember a clip that I saw of Ambrose saying he didn't expect people to like him. Because he's never really been the baby face.
No, he's pretty much acted like the asshole.
But then he started doing skits that were really funny, especially with
the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. That one was hilarious.
What?
I haven't seen it. Look it up.
It's for charity.
Exactly.
And then beats him up. And then, or the, I'm going to show you some photos and tell me what you see. Shows a picture of Jack, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh!
He goes, oh! Does a couple more, and then he shows Stephanie McMahon.
Oh!
You know, it's funny.
I really, really wish that he kept chasing after Seth Rollins the entire year, so he was the first ever to never get a chance to cash in and expire.
But Cena already did that.
No, because Cena cashed in and lost.
Oh, you just mean not
to cash in. I mean, like, he wasn't able to cash in, because every time he cashed in for the first while, Dean Ambrose was there and stopped
him. Yeah.
So if he went the entire year and wasn't able to cash in because Dean Ambrose kept intercepting and he ended up losing it, that would have been funny as hell.
It would have been really funny if he stole his Money in the Bank and then, like, lost it.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't.
Yeah, I think that would be hilarious. Goes to cash in, he's like, I have it, trust me. It's like, well, you don't have it. Huh? That'd be so funny.
It's like trying to cash a check, but you don't have a check to cash, so the bank won't let you actually...
Trust me, I have the money. I'm good for it. Just do me a solid. Mm-hmm. No, we're not going to do that.
Meg's like, yeah, you know what? I got two words for you.
Suck shit.
Well, yeah. Not what I was going to say, but we'll go with that one.
Oh, eat shit? Eat clit? Eat tit? What are we talking about here?
Why are you rhyming?
I don't know. Brad Pitt?
Are you like, you know, Dr. Seuss over there?
I wish. Sweet hats.
Sam I am.
Right? Did you hear about the whole Raw 25 thing?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
25, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
25 years.
I don't want to say confirmed, but it sounds like Taker, HBK, and Nash are all going to be there.
What? Among others, too.
I mean, among others, but those are the ones I think are
pretty much. I mean, they've already announced a lot of them already.
Yeah.
It's
going to be interesting, though. I'm looking forward to it.
I wonder if Jim Ross will call it.
He does have a certain amount of dates on his, so I could see that.
One. Yeah, because he always just, you know. Well, I mean, I guess he did use a few for the Mae Young and, you know, those. So it'll be very interesting. Should we step away from wrestling right now?
One more thing. How was your Halloween?
I worked.
Not as good as the Bullet Clubs who dressed up as the characters from Aladdin. You know who is Jasmine? Kenny Omega!
I was actually going to say Kenny Omega because I saw it.
It was a little bit of alright.
Because who was the workers that said, you know what? I like my outfit, but I'll vote for Kenny who wore better.
I can't remember who did that.
But it was a girl. It was a woman's worker.
It was pretty funny.
It's on Twitter somewhere.
Look it up. It's good stuff. Good time.
Speaking of Halloween, Connor McDavid.
Dressed up as Donald F. Trump.
Yeah.
I believe the F stands for fuck. His full name is Donald Fuck Trump.
Yeah.
I believe that's his legal given name.
I don't think it is.
Oh, fair enough.
But he did dress as Donald Trump, but on the day of Halloween, he also stayed at Pat Maroon's house and handed out hockey pucks instead of treats and signed them for everyone.
What a good guy. Stand up, dude, even though he dressed like a dick.
And then for every hot girl, he grabbed him by the pussy. I'm just kidding.
Every single one.
He didn't. He
his girlfriend is hot. Right.
Well, I mean, if you're making $12.5 million, you better be sporting some looks.
You think so? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, going after a ditch pig and.
Well, it's like Verlander. You know what? If you're gonna win a World Series, you should have like a Kate Upton by your side.
Speaking of which, last we checked, we were in our first ever Maniac Indie Award of Excellence place, first round.
Yeah.
Watching, and then the top of the second, it was. Bottom of the second, it was 5-0 for the Astros.
Wasn't even that much.
It's 5-0, yeah. They got 3 in the second.
I don't know. There was an Oilers game on, so I wasn't really paying attention that much.
Quick update. Chicago Blackhawks at the end of 2, up 2-0 on the Philadelphia Flyers. Hopefully we can finally win one. That would be a little bit of all right.
This just in. Apparently Connor McDavid just absolutely burned out the Pens to set up Draisaitl.
Sweet. 1-0 for them.
So, I don't know if it's 1-0, but I mean.
Unless someone else scored at some other point, but yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah. So let's get into hockey. I'm going to shoot a couple fastballs at you, see what your thoughts are on these. Give me just a couple words on them. Niemi's now with the Panthers. Your thoughts?
You know, I'm happy he's at least staying in the NHL.
Yeah, that's true. Griffin Reinhardt placed on waivers.
I don't think anybody will take him.
So he'll probably go down to the AHL to Chicago Wolves, I believe.
Yeah, Vegas shares the same team with St. Louis, which is very weird that St. Louis has an AHL team in Chicago. Given how Chicago and St. Louis have the big rivalry.
Yeah, but Chicago has the Rockford Ice Hogs. But yeah, anyways. Hartman was fined $2,300 for slashing versus Vegas Golden Knights. I watched it.
I didn't see it, but I mean, the NHL is being very sensitive.
Yeah, I don't know that it was worth $2,300, which apparently is the max you can fine a player. It's $2,300 and change, but still, if that's the max...
No, I'd say that'd be the minimum, because I've seen guys get more.
Apparently, according to the, the agreement that they have, apparently that's the max you can get for a slashing fine.
I sure it wasn't $23,000?
No, it's $2,300. That's all it costs.
I think that'd be the minimum.
You'd think so, but it said the max. Maybe Score App got it wrong.
You might have to check that.
Maybe the Score App got it wrong. Shane Doan is now working with the Coyotes in the part of the Coyotes executive on club level. Will be involved with competition committee. My question, the fuck is a competition committee? Because as of right now, they're 1-11.
Well, he's not working with the Coyotes. He's working with the NHL.
Well, again, Score App lied to me. I'm deleting that fucking app.
But I think he's trying to find ways where you can make the NHL better. So, like, maybe if it's, you know, the odd, you know, rule, be like, okay, maybe we should, you know, crack down on these calls. It'll make the game more open and more, you know, better. I mean,
I have a small rule change. Let them play in the fucking Olympics. Speaking of which, New Jersey's unveiled. I like them. I might have to get one.
See, I don't think the Olympics is a big thing because I still believe that if you're going to have an All-Star game, you should have some impact on your Stanley Cup final. I mean, we saw the Major League Baseball, whoever won the Major Leagues, I mean that, you know, if it's an American League, if they won, then American League gets the Home field advantage. It makes the people who get invited care more. With that being said, I can understand why people get mad about it, but at the same time, you gotta give people a reason to care if you're gonna have these games. And if you don't, then don't expect people to watch.
Well, as we talked about, I think a podcast or two ago, it won't matter in a year or so anyways. They're gonna be going over to Europe and playing 3-on-3 tournaments over there just for fun and shit. So it doesn't matter.
And just so you know, it's 2-2 going into the third period between the Oilers and the Penguins.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
No. McDavid does have 2 assists, and Crosby only has 1. So
Crosby sucks.
We have the best player. Fuck you, Pittsburgh.
They have more cups with their players now.
You know what?
Times, they are a-changing.
I think we have more cups than they do, so.
They have 5 now.
So they have 4?
They have 5. This last one was 5.
Well, you know, we're tied. So, you know.
The tie goes to the runner?
We've been in the league the least amount of time, so we win.
Fair enough.
We win.
You hear about Vegas Golden Knights suspending, was it Shipikov? That was funny.
Yeah, because he won't report to the AHL affiliate.
Chicago Wolves, yeah.
And apparently they want to terminate his contract, but before that can happen, he has to repay the signing bonus.
Yes.
So.
And yeah, he's been actually, before that happened, his manager or his agent was given permission to talk to other teams.
You know what? If I was the Oilers, and I would actually 100% be looking into this. You need the scoring. You need the change. I would 100% be looking into this. You know, they have a couple players that aren't working out. You know, trade a Ryan Strome for this guy and maybe a pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would work, help out for both teams.
And keeping with the Golden Knights, they're using their 4th-string goalie. You know who their backup is right now? He's a guy from the WHL. You know who the backup, the third is to that? Air Bud.
And you know who's the backup to that?
Who's that?
I think it was Sean Martins.
That's where he's been.
Right? But no.
Attaboy, Shawnee. Big show nasty. Good stuff.
Technically, if you count the Calvin Picard, they're really on their 5th goalie. Even 6th, because Maxime Legacy played a game.
That's who's in net now.
Yeah, but then they also have that Ferguson guy, who's a WHL from Kamloops. So you went from Fleury, you traded Picard, who played in your preseason, then you went to Malcolm Subban, then Oscar Donce. So that's 4 goalies right there. Then you have Maxime Legacy, so that's 5. And then you have Ferguson, which is 6.
6 goalies, and you're not even halfway through the season. That's impressive.
And you still aren't the worst team in the league.
8-3, I think, is what they're at right
now. I mean, yeah, now they're starting to play a little bit more to what people expected them to play like as an expansion team.
Yeah, but still.
The fact that you're on your 6th goalie already within your first 10, 11 games, that's still quite amazing.
Not to mention their 3rd-string goalie is the first one to ever get a shutout in franchise history.
Right.
That's impressive. So, should we touch on Ovechkin giving a jacket and hat to a homeless guy?
I mean, it's a very nice thing, and I think it does deserve recognition. He downplayed it, but at the very same time, he said he saw someone in the Edmonton area when the Capitals came into town. He saw a homeless guy, and he's wearing, you know, next to nothing in terms of top. Next to nothing really in pants. With the weather condition that Edmonton gets, he felt obligated to go in and buy the guy a sweater, a jacket, and some clothes. And
I think it's funny to watch him squirm during interviews.
Well, I mean, he doesn't want it to be a big deal, and I think that's just more respect to the guy, because he clearly doesn't want the publicity. Press. Because he was a human about it, and that's what he said. He just feels like, you know, more people need to, you know, be human.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not one to give away awards here, but, I mean, if you're going to go award-winning, I mean, that's definitely an award-winning in my books.
I was actually going to get to that. He is the Maniacan D Award of Excellence winner for this week, because that's a little bit of all right. Not to mention Kucherov. He set Kucherov off on a nice tip goal on your Oilers. I can't ignore that.
Well, not Ovechkin.
Ovechkin set him up on the...
Kucherov plays for a different team.
Sorry, not Kucherov. Fuck, Kuznetsov.
There you go.
They're all the same in the end. They're all Russian. Russian somewhere they can't get.
So,
whatever.
Well, I mean, I just don't like when you look bad.
Well, you should be used to it. It happens all the goddamn time.
I don't know. That's why I have to correct you a lot.
Ah, fuck you. That's from Kucherov to Stamkos. He's having his number retired by the Sarnia Sting.
Well, you weren't really ever talking about Kucherov, though.
Shut the fuck up! Point is, Stamkos having his number retired. Yes, he did well, but he only played there, I think, two seasons, maybe?
Well, a lot of people get their numbers retired in juniors. Yeah, it's only because, you know, it's a reason for more people to come to the games. But at the same time, you can't say, like, you know, guys like Steven Stamkos weren't, you know, one of the best Sarnia Sting ever.
That's true.
It's like saying, you know, Connor McDavid isn't one of the best Erie Otters.
That's true.
Patrick
Kane is not one of the best London Knights. He actually might not be. They've had some really good players.
Well, Corey Perry is very good there,
yes,
too.
Yes, he was.
See?
No, different team.
But, I mean, but that's just the thing. I mean, you got a lot of players who played very well with these teams. So they have just as much right to honor their past as, you know, any other team does. So.
Yeah. Keeping with retirements, Mark Strait announced his retirement after
12
seasons.
John Tavares a London Knight?
For one season. He was an Oshawa General for most of it. Then he got traded. He played in the same line as Nazem Kadri, actually.
Yeah. So.
Back when Kadri wore number 93.
Yeah, nobody cares about him. He's Leaf.
Nope. Anyways, Mark Strait announced retirement after 12 seasons.
Yeah.
Good for him. Had a good career, I guess.
See, he was kind of, you know, when he got bought out or he got let go from, Montreal?
Mount Royal, yeah.
So, the writing was on the wall with that one.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had a good career, but at the same time, you know, probably just should have hung him up before the season.
Would have been nice for me. I wish I could retire for 12 years.
Well, we may be able to.
That would be nice. Also, David Backus having surgery for diverticulitis. Same thing that Brock Lesnar had.
Wasn't it like colon like has
he had part of his colon removed because of diverticulitis.
Yeah, so.
Which is basically pockets of inflamed pockets of shit in your colon. Usually in your large intestine.
Well, that seems good.
No, it's not even remotely good.
Well, I mean, about having surgery.
You know. Oh, having surgery, yeah. Also, Brian Boyle is set to make his return either tonight or tomorrow, whenever they play next.
I believe they're playing tonight.
So he's set to make his return tonight, which is impressive.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So.
He is also the co-owner this week of the Menachem D Award of Excellence. We have a first ever dual champion.
Well, you know, and, you know, the word on the street is that he wasn't even going to be nominated if he was still on the Leafs. Can confirm or deny this report?
Can confirm.
Okay. So, the fact that he's now on the New Jersey Devils, you know, it says a lot about the character of people.
Indeed.
So,
any prediction for the upcoming GSP fight?
No, because I don't care that much, actually. And the reason is I'm not a big Michael Bisping fan. One of my favorite moments of Michael Bisping is UFC 100 when Dan Henderson knocked him the fuck out. And then landed another punch for no reason. Well, it seemed like it was for no reason, but then when asked, he said, I just wanted to shut him up even more.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's a good fighter. I do believe Michael Bisping's going to win the fight.
I think if it goes the distance and GSP can get back to his old form, he might be able to win via decision.
See, and that's the thing. I don't think so. I don't think GSP is going to do more to earn the fight in five rounds, and Michael Bisping will be. I think Michael Bisping's going to push the fight like nobody's ever pushed a fight to GSP. Not to mention, you're dealing with a Michael Bisping fighter who's been fighting through and through consistently for the last few years. Not GSP, who's had almost 4 years off.
That's true.
So,
okay, so what's your prediction then?
My prediction is Michael Bisping is going to win over a stoppage.
In what round?
I'm going to say third round. However, I'm not going to be surprised by a decision because we're dealing with GSP here. However, I do like GSP more as a person than Michael Bisping. It's just the comments of GSP saying that if he lost, he was done, just makes me care less about him as a returning fighter.
He's already got one foot out the door again, so why would we care?
Well, and that's just the thing. It's like, why does he deserve the title opportunity for middleweight? Yep. I mean, I can understand him coming back and getting an opportunity for a welterweight, but middleweight is a different weight class. Why does he just get an automatic opportunity? I don't think it's fair to some of the other competitors who actually do deserve that match.
Yeah.
So, because of that reason, I don't necessarily jump on the GSP bandwagon. So, I'm going to go with Michael Bisping in this fight. I don't care either way. Personally, I do want Dan Henderson to run in and knock both people
cash out. Cash in Money in the Bank?
Just, you know, interfere and then steal the title.
I like it. Okay, so you're picking Bisping. I'm picking GSP. Beer bet?
Sure.
Done. You heard it here first.
Well, I mean, it's traditional. It's
as
a tradition.
As is tradition, I have to pay up on beer bets. Well, fair enough. So, I take the long ball. The odds on not favorite.
So, NFL just had a trade deadline.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, quite the trade deadline.
I heard some guy from the Dolphins went to somewhere.
No, Jay Ajayi from the Miami Dolphins was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles, gotcha. Who actually have the fourth best run game in the NFL right now, the best record in the NFL.
Wow.
So,
suck it, Lumberjack Larry.
So, they look like they're getting better, but at the end of the day, they're still the Philadelphia Eagles, so that remains to be said.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots trade quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo.
Garoppolo!
To San Francisco 49ers for a second-round pick. Patriots
they do that a lot, eh?
The Patriots love their second-round picks.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
However, Bill Belichick said, you know what, we have to just make a decision on our quarterback future. I personally think, long-term, that's the wrong deal.
Yeah.
However, you know, how can you go against Tom Brady?
Yeah, it's just true.
But, you know, I would. I actually would. When I'm thinking about the future and I'm thinking about 5 years from now, I'm thinking Tom Brady isn't playing. And I'm thinking Jimmy Garoppolo is my guy. Also, I'm also thinking Bill Belichick, who is the GM and the head coach. I don't think he is the GM or head coach in 5 years also. So, it is what it is. Now, I mean, we saw other trades too, like Kelvin Benjamin gets traded from the Panthers to the Buffalo Bills. That makes no sense to me.
I can't comment on that one.
As much as I'm a New Orleans Saints fan, who, yes, on a 5-game winning streak, ranked first in their division, I like the fact that the second-place Carolina Panthers traded their best weapon in the passing category. I mean, they're down. Greg Olsen is out for the season. Okay. The run game, I mean, they have a rookie and they have Stewart, and it's just, you know, Stewart's not really what he used to be, and McCaffrey is a new, like, just a rookie who's not, you know, taking everything by storm. So you trade your number one receiver. Makes no sense. Newton takes a lot of unnecessary hits as it is, needs weapons to throw to the ball. With the loss of Olsen, it just made, I don't know, to me it just made no sense. But at the same time, hey, you know what? Thank you for, you know, hopefully two easy wins, and, you know, we'll go into the playoffs, you know, looking to, you know, establish greatness. No, we are. But yeah, then we caught news that Mr. Bennett off the Green Bay Packers, the tight end, says this is going to be his last year in the NFL.
Sad day. That is that.
I mean, for more, you know, updates on the trade deadline, just go to like a TSN, a Sportsnet, Score app, you know, stuff like that.
The whatamaneuver.net?
But, well, I mean, you can go to whatamaneuver.net, but you're not going to find out your scores.
You're going to get scored on how good you look.
You're going to get scored on your t-shirt, your onesie, your hoodie, your fashion sense.
Your fashion. Buy the fashion popo.
Yeah. And you're going to get scored a perfect
10.
Struggle 3.0.
Huh.
All right. And see what I did there?
I did.
Anyway, you're going to get the highest grade you can possibly get when you go to watermaneuver.net and you buy your first ever struggle shirts, hoodies, baby onesies. Or you want to go a little bit old school.
Vintage.
And go One World Empire.
Yeah.
And you can get everything there as well. Now, with that being said, you can also buy tickets to this Saturday's show.
Retribution 10.
$15 advance, 20 at the door.
I have a couple left, but they're almost gone.
Contact your boys. You know we got the hookup. And you know what?
We have a surprise.
You know, we don't only have great seats still available. We have new shirts, people.
We have merchandise! Hooray! I have masks. I have pictures. We have t-shirts. You have pictures.
Yeah.
There's a Fans Bring the Weapon Battle Royal.
Right.
We're going to defend our tag title successfully.
Looking at regaining the provincial title.
We're going to have a good night.
Right. I mean, like, we need more titles.
Yeah, we do.
But we're going to get more titles.
Yeah, we are.
Because?
Chicago emptied that goal.
Woo! And I got to pee. No, I'm just kidding. Huh. But this Saturday, going to be a great show. Fans Bring the Weapons to the Retribution Ripper Battle Royal.
Retribution 10.
I mean, you're going to see Nasty Nick Nixon step in the ring with massive damage and get his ass chopped to a new hemisphere.
I'm excited.
I mean, it's weird when we're hoping massive damage beats up on someone.
That is strange.
I mean, it hasn't happened in a while.
If it doesn't happen, we'll do it in the Battle Royal.
Yeah. But then you have a tables match for the MPW Heavyweight Championship between Crazy Core and the Irishman. And, you know, dare I say, there's probably not one feud that's more storied than that.
No, you're probably right.
So, and then we got a submission match between Dean Richter and the Wild Child, Tyler James. We got a chairs match for the Siren title between Sexy Sam and Psycho Sawyer.
Yeah.
What else do we have? I mean,
Battle Royal?
We got the Ripper Royal. We have the Fatal 4-Way for the MPW Renegade Memorial Tag Team titles.
That's us!
Where, you know, the best tag team of all the time.
All the time!
Tag Struggle 3.
Tag Struggle 3!
You know, decides, you know, why just beat up on one team when you can beat up on three when three. The sexy American superstars, they're Birds gross. Of Prey.
They're luchadorable.
They are luchadorable. And shout out to them who actually did help us last month.
Yeah, they're good guys.
But still we're still gonna, you know,
do our thing.
Kick their ass.
At least, though.
And then the cats meow.
They're not the cats meow. They're more like the cat's ass because they are shit.
They're, pussies.
Pussy!
For the lack of a better word, they're pussies.
Pussy!
Especially that new Mr. Bigglesworth pussy that he added in Rick Jules.
That raunchy pussy!
Right, he's like the Mr. Bigglesworth of the cat's band.
You notice how he shaved his head to look just like mine? He's right? Really trying to emulate. Since I left, he dropped off and became nothing, had to leave for 2 years.
Yeah,
I mean, became great.
He's definitely,
flash in the pan?
Well, he's definitely dressing up to be like, Scott Dawson for Halloween this year.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right?
Fair enough.
But we say...
Pussy!
We say no all day, all night.
Go fuck off.
Because a lot of you is just...
Not all right.
A little bit of not all right.
Yeah.
So, see ya.
There it is. There it is. Yeah.
So, so that's where you can find us this Saturday.
Yeah.
That's November. We hope everyone had a good Halloween.
Indeed. If anybody needs any more chocolate, I have so much at my house.
If anybody wants to bring chocolate bars or peanut butter cups specifically,
yes,
to the Retribution 10 and just give it to us, we'll gladly take it off your hands.
I'll have a little something something. If you bring us some chocolate or something like that, I will give you something in return.
Yeah, I will too.
Might be a hand job.
I will too sweet you
for might, a buttercup. It might be one of those. That's the kind of job for the hand.
That is not.
That's what that is. Get your mind out of the gutter, Parrish, you sick fuck.
You just gave me a hand job. How could I not?
There you go.
What? I mean, why do you think I'm so happy right now?
Because we're thinking about all the titles we're going to win.
That, and, you know, I mean, I just, you know, got, you know, my, I got a great feeling going.
Yes.
That this Saturday is going to be a great night for us.
It's going to be a little bit of all right.
Struggalicious.
So before we go, should we do the whole let's book Becky Lynch? Or should we save that for next week?
Save that for next week.
We'll save it for next week.
Let's basket in our glory this week, and let's basket in her glory next week.
Done.
Don't think I could have said that any better.
None of them.
So,
come into the show.
Also, big announcement from Mike at Mike the Ref about Edmonton Sportcast Podcast Network. So this Saturday, you'll be able to pick up copies of the first ever the inaugural. Memorial Nelson Mayer Memorial
Tag Team Tournament.
Yes,
I already have my copy. It's a little bit of all right.
Well, that's because, you know, because
I won it. I half won it.
That we kind of did a little
won,
bit of
sorry, one third won it.
We did some commentary.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, obviously, you want the sounds of sweetness,
sounds of struggle as commentary,
right? So, I mean, of course, So, yeah, we talked about shit. We told people we were going to be this weekend. I mean, I think that's good enough.
I think it's about time that we go and...
finish those hand jobs.
Yeah! Hand jobs and beer!
Yay! Woo! Same time.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
I mean, a pint and a...
A pint and a pole.
Right.
There it is.
Pint and pull.
There it is.
That's a little bit of all right. That's Struggalicious. We are Tag Struggle 3.
Three, because we are real.
And we are...
Spectacular 3.
As it comes for episode 47, we are finished. We are done.
Three.
Later.
Bitches.